welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heartbeat of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, the Runnin' Rev, and I'm thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. And the journey, the story that we are hearing today is from the Richmond area, Rich Saunders. Y'all know him, East End Trail Runners, Rich Brow Brewing. He is all over the place. And this guy reached out to me wanting to share his story. You know, if Rich's story really hits you home, or one of these other stories, if you have a story like Rich and you want to tell it, you think you have a great story to tell, I'm always looking for guests. Email me, andrew@runandrev.com. It is a great opportunity because I love sharing these stories. And this one, this is a good one. Running for a long time, coming into running as an adult, what it has meant to him, and how that transition. I mean, classic runner story. But I'm not going to tell it. Let's head into this interview and let's hear it from Rich. All right, welcome in, everybody. Today I'm joined from the east side. We've got Rich Saunders on, and so I'm glad to welcome Rich in. Rich, how you doing today?
Hey, Andrew. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you responding to me, reaching out. I've had the privilege to listen to several folks that I know in your podcast already, so I'm glad to be able to join them.
Yeah, definitely. And as y'all heard, you know, Rich reached out to me. This is just another opportunity to say, you know, I love to just share stories of runners, you know, I mean, even whether they're from the Hampton Roads area or not. And I was so thankful when Rich reached out to me and to get this opportunity to share about Rich and his journey and just everything that he's been through. So let's start off right where we start off on these episodes. Rich, what is your community and what makes your community awesome?
Sure. Yeah. And it's evolved a lot. You know, I've been running since I was 12 years old and I'm now 36, but my current running community are the folks that I get a privilege to run with the most. There's two groups, both kind of based out of the Churchill area. One group that has been going on now for a few years is called Rich Brow Ramblers. We meet in Chaco Bottom at Rich Brow Brewing. It's evolved. It started at Stone Brewing, which is also fairly close.
Yeah.
And I built a pretty good relationship with the owners at Rich Brow. We moved there a couple of years ago. And that's kind of my midweek social run. And then the other group that is a bit larger is a trail running group that meets on Sundays. We call ourselves the East End Trail Runners, and it's based out of Blue Atlas in Fulton Hill. Geographically, we kind of pull from all over Richmond, but they're particularly on the Wednesday Rich Brow group. It's a lot of folks kind of in and around the Churchill Rockets Landing area, which is where I live.
And so a lot of listeners will be familiar just from conversations with other Richmond runners and things like that. And so as you've been a part of this Richmond running scene for a little bit now, what has it been like for you in both starting and participating in these groups, in these clubs, in these areas?
Yeah, for me, it always kind of motivates me to see people and be able to catch up during the week. I am someone that I enjoy running solo sometimes. I like to reflect, but I like some variety. And so, you know, the Wednesday midweek run group, it's always a great way to break up the weekend just to see people and catch up on what's going on. The Sunday group, too, it's just like a nice time to go play in the woods with friends. And it's a very social pace. We catch up every mile or two and just keep it fun. You know, as I've evolved, I used to need groups more to motivate me to train for something. And I know we still have a lot of great training programs, a big one being the Sports Backers program for MTT. You know, I've needed that motivation to be able to execute workouts. And that still kind of fluctuates. There's times when I'm training for something where I really just am intimidated by the track and having a folks, even if it's just a couple of folks that may not even be doing the same thing as me, to get me out there and keep me motivated is helpful. But more than anything, I think, especially the last few years, I've just enjoyed being able to catch up and have the social aspect of folks to enjoy running and exercising with.
Yeah, and I think we've seen this this much more present onset of where groups there's the fun that is in racing, but it has come to embody more about the community, more about gathering together. And so you talk about being a part of MTT and all those training teams and everything like that, but then coming now where you're experiencing more of the communal aspect where you want to get together and do things together, whether it's running from a brewery, doing trail runs. So what has your journey looked like as you've not transitioned away, but come into this new sphere where this new running boom is more about community? It's more about getting together. It's more about having fun. And so what was the transition for you coming into that?
Yeah, well, to give you a little bit of like the history of my running.
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of my motivation behind groups has evolved as I've changed with my running. So you interviewed Candace for a previous episode, and we went to the same high school in Caroline. And she talked about visiting the farm on the podcast. I didn't grow up on a farm, but we can relate in that we came from kind of a small place. So me and my sister both ran cross country at our high school.
Okay.
And that was kind of the first community that I had in running at the time. And a lot of us folks in cross country were close on and off the course. You know, we were hanging out outside of high school, and I really kind of built my identity, I think, in running from that younger age. And that translated into college, where I ran at least my freshman year on the cross country program. I enjoyed the group focus then. I didn't do as well my freshman year as I'd hoped. I ended up with some injuries, but I ended up actually forming East Carolina's first club cross country team with a few other folks that I met at a leadership conference. So I guess I've been creating running groups for a long time. That was back in, 2007 that we created that running group that I think is still there today. I ended up transferring to VCU, which is in Richmond and where I live today. And during that time, that was when I was more competitive, I would say, with running than what I am today. I worked at a specialty running store that was in Midlothian called Runner Bills. That had a couple of other fairly competitive folks at the store that I could train with. But I got to know, just through working at the running store, I got to know the larger community. And as a whole, there were a lot more folks that ran for just staying physically active and staying in shape there than the folks that were necessarily super competitive like me. But I ended up graduating from VCU. I moved to DC for grad school, and I was in a very competitive group there called Capital Area Runners. Mm-hmm. If you've ever done Richmond Marathon, you probably see a lot of the folks that have the red singlet up from DC, and that was a very structured. They met 3 days a week. They had intervals one day, tempo runs another day, long runs on the weekend. And I had some of my best success in running times and accomplishments during that time in graduate school. Unfortunately, kind of coming off that, trying to get more into marathons, I had a streak of, and I still do on and off, having some kind of overuse type injuries. And so I've kind of still was competitive for a while, and I still can be competitive at times today, but I really kind of, once I moved, I moved from DC for grad school to Williamsburg. So I've got some connections to the Hampton Roads area through that. I know Megan Scholes and Adam Ockdott, who both interviewed, that are in the Williamsburg area. I think Megan's now in Newport News. But really, that's kind of where I think I did a lot more social running. That came to be more when I transitioned into living in Williamsburg and meeting some social groups that I still keep up with today. I was actually just in a conference in Williamsburg last week and was catching up with the Enterprisers group. You know, anytime I'm just popping through Williamsburg, I'll make a special point to stop and see who from the Enterprisers is around and running so I can run with them and reminisce about stuff. But so I was, you know, I was there for a few years, and I've now been in Richmond since 2016. And me and my partner, who have been together since 2018, when we first moved to Rockets Landing, as a way to meet people, we sought out a running group just to kind of meet folks that were in the area. So that's when we joined this Stone. There was a group that met at Stone Brewing, which is walking distance from Rockets Landing. And so that has evolved and has become what is now Richbrow. So the person that had formed Stone, the Stone Running Group, worked at Stone. He's since moved to Florida. And when he moved, I sort of took over the group. We were temporarily at Triple Crossing in Fulton. But I worked through my relationship with the owners at Richbrow. I worked at the city of Richmond and kind of met them through the permitting process and got to like the guys a lot. And that's right off of the Capitol Trail. It was kind of a more central location for running. So that's been a regular part of my weekly routine now, really since 2016, was either at Stone or Richbrow. It's always kind of been a highlight of my week. And then the East End Trail Runners Group has come about really just in the last couple of years. I do some triathlons now, and I had a coach for a while that was really trying to get me more on trails, and I'm not someone that naturally enjoys the trail running as much. I'm clumsy, and I can't seem to run the James River Park system without turning an ankle or falling or something. Last time I dislocated my pinky running on those trails, but somehow I was able to find, I think just through Strava stalking, I found some trails out on the East End and the Churchill side of town that are not as technical, that seem to suit me better, and I've really come to like them a lot. And there's a restaurant called Blue Atlas that's right up the hill from Rockets in Fulton Hill. And I came to really appreciate that. I discovered that during COVID. They have a really nice outside patio area that overlooks the downtown skyline. And once they were really starting to open again, they have this nice market that serves breakfast. I thought this would be kind of a cool place to meet with friends, to expose more people to these trails that outside of the like niche mountain biking community, there didn't seem to be a lot of runners that really knew about the trails out on the East End. And I love Blue Atlas. So yeah. I have a friend, Stacy. She's since moved to Asheville, actually just recently moved to Asheville, but she and this other person that lived in Rockets, Parker, the three of us, along with my partner, Don, kind of started these runs from Blue Atlas for the East End Trail Runners. There's a lot of several different trails that aren't really mapped, so we kind of call them the pirate trails. Mm-hmm. We did a lot of walking to figure out a good 10K loop for us to do. So Stacy, Parker, Don, and I kind of did that in the beginning. And luckily for me in the beginning, I had Stacy that was much better at social media and doing that side of it than me. So I really credit Stacy to kind of helping spread the word and build it to what it is. But
it's always nice to have someone else who can do social media.
Yeah, exactly. But she's now, I unfortunately don't have her anymore now that she's moved, but we created a logo with the help of some folks here in town, and even made some merchandise with the running club for that. So that's been a consistent part of my schedule. We've got a few, you know, I think it's hard for anyone to be able to commit to every week doing Sunday. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of people that come, but most people probably come maybe once or twice a month. But we still get a steady stream usually of, I'd say, 10 to 20 people that come to the East End group.
And so what's it been like for you transitioning from this primarily competitive type of person into a fun runner, like a hobby jogger? It's hard to kind of come at what we call ourselves these days. It feels like the language around it has changed so much, but it seems like, you know, you went from being this cross country runner in high school to not being a part of the cross country team at your college, but still being a part of a club and a group, you know, even to being a part of Capital Runners. It seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, you're not running to sort of be fast nowadays. I think for a lot of us, fast kind of becomes somewhat of a byproduct of just being consistent. And so what's it been like for you to go from, you know, running with all of these clubs where it seems like time matters, to just even my understanding of trail running, where time has no understanding or meaning, and GPS often is difficult to even get a status. And so you're stopping a lot, you're catching up with folks, you're doing all of these things. So what's that transition been like for you?
Yeah, well, for me, there always has been some value in having easier paced runs anyways. So I think even when I was still maybe a little bit more competitive with Capital Area Runners, there were still days during the week where I would meet for more of a social run. I didn't have this level of social. Yeah. It was more like other competitive runners that were doing their easy days and were probably still running sub 7 minute mile pace. So a little bit different maybe than what I'm doing today. But even now, I still wouldn't say I'm totally hobby jogger. I still do triathlons. And, you know, I mentioned I started trail running because I had a coach that I think as a way to force me to use different muscles and kind of stay less injury prone. It was a way to kind of mix up my routine and do something different, not to not think about pace at all, but just get on the trails and just enjoy it. And even on the really, you know, with the East End trail runners, we might be going 11 or 12 minute mile pace, but my heart rate still probably just as elevated as it would be if I was out on the roads running an 8 minute mile pace. I think it has become more part of my schedule doing these social runs. And it's just something that I've learned to enjoy. I think too, just with kind of constantly having injuries after a while, it's just, you learn to appreciate running so much more. Particularly when you've had I think a lot of runners that are listening can probably relate, when you've had a prolonged injury where you haven't been able to run at all for several weeks or months, you take it for granted less. And so I've really come to just find joy in being able to run 3 or 4 days a week, even if it's mostly easy running. Keeps me healthier as well.
Yeah.
But I do channel, I still have competitive veins that run within me that I sort of channel in other ways, especially with cycling. Those that follow me on Strava know that, you know, a lot of my time is spent cycling these days, and I feel like I can really be a little more aggressive with the cycling and not be as prone to injury with doing that. So
I feel like you can never fully get rid of that competitive side. You know, I still see it in myself too, but I think there's something sort of calming about doing it within community. And I love the perspective that you brought in from trail running, because when I ran with Race Team RVA, we would occasionally have monthly trail runs, and it's almost like it throws you off of where you think you need to be, because there is no rhyme or reason when you're running on trails. You can't get into a regular cadence. You don't have a regular stride length a lot of times. You know, if you're a 9-10 minute runner on roads, sometimes that translates to like 11, 12, 13 minutes on trails, especially when you're running trail runs with a group. A lot of times it's not about, you know, it's more about everybody finishing at the same time rather than trying to get through sort of this trail as quickly as possible. And so I definitely see a lot of things that kind of meet up and come together. And you talk about trail running as sort of a way to enjoy running more. And probably not in a way that you would say like lost a love for running, but what has it been like for you to maybe get out on those trails, to run with East End Trail Runners, to maybe rediscover the difference that it takes to run on trails?
Well, and it's been something for me to somewhat learn too, to not always want to be super consistent and be obsessed with, like, even if it's not pace motivated, just feeling like I'm getting in a maximal effort. There was a period, I think when we were first starting with East End, where I had kind of one main group that was kind of faster folks, quote unquote, faster folks. And I just thought, in the way that my mind works, I'm like, I don't like having to stop as much. We were kind of going towards maybe a model where we split up the group into a little bit of a faster group, then we're maybe going more like sub 10 minute miles, and then kind of another group that was maybe in the 11 to 12 minute mile pace. And I was really protecting the folks that were faster, because I thought maybe they wouldn't be as interested in coming if they had to keep stopping every mile and catch up. And then when I actually polled folks, they had no issue stopping. This was like a fun run for them, where it was all about community. And even if they may not get the same stimulus as they might exercise-wise from just one consistent run for the whole 10K, this was about having fun. It wasn't as much about the exercise stimulus or the numbers associated with it. So we've kind of morphed from, at one point, leaning more towards not necessarily being specifically pace specific, but splitting based on the fitness level of folks, to now really coming back, and everyone actually seems to be perfectly fine and happy with regrouping every mile or two and staying more more so as a group. And that's not to say that it doesn't still break up between stopping points, because there are folks that want to go a little bit faster. If there's a segment along the way that someone wants to try to see if they can run a fast time on, that does still happen. But I think going into it with the frame of mind of, we're going to get in some exercise, but we're going to just have fun and enjoy each other's company. And that's really the benefit, is just the enjoying being with folks out in nature and prioritizing that over just the fitness gains.
And you talk about
more of a byproduct.
Yeah. And you talk about coming to a place where you enjoy. And I think that one of the things we as runners fear probably the most is losing that joy, losing that love for the sport. And so what are some ways that trail running, and how has that bled over into the other running that you do, into running, into triathlon? How, like, you say your coach was the one that encouraged you to do it just to as a way to enjoy running more. So how have you noticed it bleed over into the rest of your sort of movement, activity, running sphere?
Yeah. Again, I think it gives me something to look forward to during the week. It's harder for me during the week with my schedule, particularly in the winter months when I don't have a lot of sunlight and the times that I'm running, to try to get out to the trails to run. And so a majority of what I'm doing during the week is on roads. And even if it's a purposely slower run, I'm a lot more cognizant of the pace. You know, like, I may be feeling bad and my watch is telling me that 8:30 is too fast of a pace for me. I'm just a lot more cognizant of the pace. Sunday's pace is kind of thrown out the window, and I'm just really enjoying being out there and focusing more on what's in front of me on my feet, making sure I don't trip on something, or just appreciating being out in the woods. So I think it adds a level of variety. But again, I think the benefit from a coaching perspective, when I was getting workouts and was prescribed trail running from the coach, was just it stimulates different muscle groups. You're working different areas. It keeps your body a little bit more fresh to be able to mix it up. I think it complements, and even for someone that doesn't really race at all in the trails, I think it really can help anyone's training program. Really, even someone that's trying to train for a sub-3-hour marathon, having one day to get out on the trails is a way to break things up and do something different, just from a mind perspective and kind of just taking your mind off pace a little bit, to the benefits that it can have, I think, to different muscles and things are totally worth it.
And I think that for a lot of us, there might be something in there in exploring something like that and exploring the different ways. You know, as a running coach, I think all the time of, you know, the straight natured manner of running. While consistency is our best friend, consistency in a certain way also can lead to some of, like, what you talked about, what you experience and what I experienced too, of just those overuse injuries. You know, I can run 20, 30 miles, 40 miles, 50 miles a week, and I can just be crushing it in mileage, and I can even, you know, have some speed that most folks might get jealous of. But at the end of the day, I'm still sitting here, you know, it's the end of July 2024, and it's because of overuse injuries, it's hard to sometimes string together a 15, 20 mile week. Whereas I have a lot of my friends who are, you know, they're mixing the training up a little bit. They're putting different things in there. You know, you talk about this variety that you have, this variety in your running, right? Between solo and community runs, between road and trail, just all of these things. Can you think about, you know, maybe just across your running journey, what's been the thing that has hindered that variety? Do you think that maybe there was something that you got into and you experienced it in a certain way? Because now it seems like you're getting into this variety and it's helping your running journey. For you, what was kind of the biggest barrier in terms of recognizing this variety? What sort of maybe that tip that you want to give other runners as they're maybe struggling with the same things that you're running with?
I think for me, I think like a lot of runners, I tend to have more of a A-type personality when it comes to training, and I really like to see quantifiable times and results. Again, even if it's off, if it's not a workout day and I'm doing easy, I like to know, oh, I need to stay within the 8 minute to 8:30 pace range on this run to make sure I'm hitting my target for this specific day. If I'm triathlon training, the very specific workouts I'm supposed to do every day, which I think if you're numbers driven, like I tend to be, you know, there's kind of a feeling of reward and seeing that you're executing a plan with a specific prescribed pace range. But I think that having that sort of everything being about numbers, especially in the age of having GPS watches, and it gives us a lot of useful data. But I think that there comes a time where there's a benefit to taking a step back, at least for one day during the week, where you're not so obsessed with the numbers and the paces and are just trying to really enjoy just being outside and appreciating being out on the trails or enjoying. And maybe it's not necessarily trail running. Maybe if you're specifically a runner, maybe it's a day where you're going out and just enjoying biking more. Like, you know, you had Chris Mason on the podcast, which everybody knows, of course, but I think he's really, I've seen him post about how he's been just enjoying getting out on the bike. For him, it's not about hitting a particular number on the bike. It's just mixing things up and enjoying the outdoors. And that mentally and physically, I think you'll see kind of longer term benefits of, for me, it's having less of a mindset of like having to quantify everything that I do and being a little bit too obsessed with the numbers.
And do you think that there's, do you see within both Easton and Browrich this understanding that's kind of beginning to move in that direction?
Yeah, I think so. I think with even with Rich, so Rich Brow, not Brow Rich, Rich Brow.
Rich Brow.
no worries. We do, I mean, it's mostly roads, but we do mix in some trails as well. But we really try to be, and maybe we haven't done as good of a job in the past, but we try to be like a group where people can feel comfortable no matter what the speed is. So trying to give folks an option of if they just want to do a 3 mile, we'll try to stick together on a smaller loop so people can branch off if they want to come back to the brewery and do 3 instead of 5. And it kind of adapting what we do based on who's there. And we really don't ever really try to hit a certain pace with the group. It's just being comfortable with who is there. Yeah, definitely with Easton, like I said before, I think, and this was a lot my fault, was having less of an effort to try to protect people being there from just trying to get maybe an aerobic or fitness gain from the group and seeing how fast they can finish the loop, with more focus on just getting through the loop and having fun as a group. And even if that means we're stopping every mile and maybe our elapsed pace is, you know, 10 to 15 or even 20 minutes. But being able to finish together and just enjoy the company of everyone there. I don't know how well I did answering that question.
Well, no, but I mean, I think it's a great perspective because, as I mentioned before, we're in the midst of this new running boom where it's less about the quantifiable speed for the everyday runner, and it's more about the enjoyment that someone gets out of it. And so,
yeah,
one of the things I noticed is whether you're going for a 3 hour marathon or a 5 hour marathon, there's a desire for both of those things to matter, and not in a good way or a bad way, but for it to be about the time, yes, and we can celebrate, okay, this is like my PR, but also it's an opportunity for everybody to celebrate. And so when you get together with your run club and you get together with your trail runners, you know, what is that spirit and environment like? You know, what is that pre-run ritual that y'all are going through that that's creating that space for anybody to kind of feel kind of like you feel, where you're doing this because you enjoy running. And at the end of the day, there's going to be a quantifiable thing because at the end of the day, you're going to do a race. But your performance is not at the end of the day, driving your club forward. It's the fun that you guys are having together. And so what's that been like for you in both of these situations?
Yeah, I mean, it's been rewarding and nice to meet so many different folks to the communities of each of the run groups. I would say like during the week, it's just kind of like it's after work and just getting there and meeting before the run to catch up about what's going on in our week is just always kind of refreshing. And, you know, we often will have a new face that's come out and we'll introduce them to the rest of the group. I always set a particular route. I'm someone that doesn't like doing the same route over and over again. So mm-hmm. I have like 10 different routes that we kind of run through. So we kind of meet up, discuss like what route we're going on. Sometimes there's someone that might disagree and not like the route that I've selected. So that's always subject to be changed if someone would rather go in a different direction, or if it's wet, you know, if I've had a trail route, maybe we'll switch it up and do something different. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a different vibe. On the weekends, on the Sunday trail running group, it's like people have had the weekend to enjoy. This time of year, most folks, a lot of the folks at least, are doing MTT.
Yeah.
So this is like their day to just kind of enjoy. They've had their long run maybe on Saturday and are coming out as a Sunday or kind of recovery day. It's a lot more chill. We've got all the time in the world usually in the morning. So we take our time. We usually don't leave until 5 or 10 minutes after the posted time to make sure everyone's there. And then kind of mid-run, I don't know if you've seen pictures, but it's kind of a joke, is that there's a random toilet that's out in the middle of the woods. We don't know how it got there, but that's like our picture spot. So we always stop and pose at the toilet to take a picture. And if it's a new person, we ask that they actually sit or squat over the toilet. So kind of as their initiation exercise and to be the centerfold of the picture. So we've got just a large, it's kind of fun to look back at the collection of photos, especially in the different seasons, whether there's a lot of vegetation out or if it's during the winter when there's no leaves on the trees, and just to see at all different times of the year, folks gathered around the toilet in the middle of the woods. So I think, again, the Wednesday is kind of like, it's a nice break to the middle of the week and kind of just regroup and catch up on stuff, whereas Saturday or Sundays rather just kind of a more relaxed, a lot of time to kind of gather together, enjoy the run. Then we come back and most of us stick around and have breakfast after, kind of a situation.
And so what's it meant like for your relationship with the Richmond running community overall? To be a part of, to lead, and to have fun in both of these groups? Because I have to imagine it's, you know, you still are in the Richmond running scene. You know, you still are doing these groups in Richmond. And so you have some connectivity to just the greater scene. What's that meant for you, for your relationship with Richmond running?
Yeah. And for me, again, being a numbers motivated or driven person, I have sometimes struggled with just wanting to build a big group. And I have to remind myself, and I've been trying to do a better job of that lately, is even if we have just a couple of folks that come, it's about having the connection and relationships with the people that are there and not being so focused on having a big group. It's been rewarding, you know, to meet a lot of people and hear that people really enjoy and look forward to the groups. For me, I think when I initially took over the Richbrow group, but there really wasn't any groups that I had ever led. So at the time, back in, I guess, 2019 or 2020, it's probably 2020 around COVID when I took it over from John that had moved to Florida. It was kind of my first time heading something up. Mm. So it's been nice for me to grow too, and in leadership, and to sort of realize what's important and valuable to me is leading a group. I'll say there's a lot of groups in Richmond now.
Yeah.
And so I try not to get offended if someone enjoys another group or there's another group that's maybe more convenient than ours. When we were at Stone back in the day, we did on the runs on Tuesdays because that was kind of a day where there weren't a lot of other groups and it seemed convenient for folks. When we came to Richbrow, they were closed on Tuesdays. So with our small group, we collectively decided Wednesday worked better for our schedules. Well, it turns out Wednesday is when One for the Road meets, which they go to a different brewery every week. They're huge. And I'm not trying to compete with them to draw people from their group to ours. It's really more folks that just, it's convenient for us because we live in Churchill or Rockets, and it's just convenient for us. And You know, for me, that community, the goal is not to have 50 people that come into Shaka Bottom, because there's not really capacity there to park all those people, which is why One for the Road doesn't stop there anymore.
Yeah.
But it's really more about just the folks that run down from their house in Churchill. They don't even have to drive. We meet up and catch up and just enjoy the companionship. And even if it's just me and one or two other people there, I think we all still see value in that on the given week. So.
And so as you look forward and you look at where both of these groups are now, but you even think into the future of both what you as a leader are receiving from these groups, and then even as people who are coming and participating and receiving, you know, what are your hopes for groups like these? Whether it is a brewery run club that kind of meets in a more densely populated area, or it's a trail running community that gathers together for fun and, you know, just kind of chill, exciting miles. You know, what is your hope for both of these?
Yeah, I think, again, they both kind of serve different purposes in a way, and in terms of how it's labeled. But I think the overall goal is just to have more people feel like they can come to a safe place to run without feeling intimidating, getting to know our city a little bit better. In the case of East End, it was initially just exposing people to trails they may not have otherwise known about, as well as just Blue Atlas and the community around that. You know, with Richbrow, it being located in kind of a densely populated area of the city that tends to be somewhat transient with folks moving in, Shaco tends to be a quote unquote maybe starter neighborhood for folks when they first come to Richmond. There's a lot of apartments there that, in just being a place where people can come not knowing Richmond and get to see more of the city through the routes that we run. But overall, I mean, I wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't something that I enjoyed. So yeah. I think it's just about sharing the enjoyment of the running community with other folks.
Do you think that people really feel that sense of excitement, feel that sense of readiness, feel that sense of, you know, we're here to have fun. We're not here to, you know, hurt ourselves, beat ourselves up, but we're here to have a good time.
I hope so. I mean, I try to make it that way. Maybe sometimes on Wednesdays, I'm not having the best week. I try not to bring that to the group, because the group is something that helps to make my week better. If I'm having a bad week, gives me something to look forward to. Neither of these cases are, and there's a place for competitiveness, but these groups are more about fun. So I do think that that's what I'm at least trying to aim for in both the groups.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, I guess one more, I just keep on thinking of questions here, but, you know, you talk about it being fun, and you talk about kind of the, you didn't kind of label it as a transition, but this movement from, you know, trying to make everything about numbers, about competing, all of this stuff, to more of this mindset of trying to make it fun and in the enjoyment, kind of seeing things happen. And so what does it look like for you to just kind of make fun, not in a bad way, to make it fun for folks, you know, and you talk about there's no way that I can't bring, you know, my long, arduous days into Run Club. And sometimes when I have my worst Tuesdays, I walk into Run Club and people are like, boy, you better get out of that funk, because we're here to have fun. But what's that been like for you to kind of rediscover that fun? And then what's it been like for you to help others discover that funness as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think just, again, having gone through the injuries that I've gone through and come to see running as something a little bit different, it's something that I want in my life, regardless of whether or not I'm running a 16-minute 5K or jogging a 24-minute 5K, whatever it may be. I think just being grateful for having running, having these groups as being something that kind of motivates me and allows me to share it with other folks, it's been very rewarding. And then, you know, I think just seeing the other relationships that get built through the running community at the groups has been rewarding for me. And I'll be running and listening to the conversations that folks are having, and just being able to catch up and share about stuff and make and build new relationships through it. That's one of the most rewarding things for me, is just the connections that it's made. And, you know, for some folks, it's been, this is where their first community might be when they move to Richmond, is through a smaller running group and somewhere that's approachable that they feel like they can be themselves and enjoy and learn from other folks. So, but for me, it's just me personally, it's just me appreciating being able to run and to share that appreciation with other folks.
And I think the authenticity that a lot of that brings as well. I mean, one of the things I've noticed in leading is, you know, leading from a place where a lot of times people see, you know, your PRs and your times, and there's an intimidation factor there. But, you know, then maybe once you lead, it's like, all right, well, who, you know, who's running, who wants to run a few miles? And they're like, oh, I don't want to run at your pace. I'm like, no. I'm going to run at your pace. Because in a lot of ways, I think that that's, you know, and like you said earlier, it's like, we tell folks, I want to do this because I enjoy spending time in these sorts of environments. You know, I can get any sort of, you know, qualitative workout I need to get where I need to hit certain times or anything like that. And so, you know, it seems like you found a place where you can put aside, for even if it's just a little while, that competitive nature, and you still have outlets for that competitive nature to play itself out, but to, you know, like you said, allow it to not be the driving factor of what's bringing everybody together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I view it as first to relationships and conversations. The actual running part's kind of secondary, but the end result after having the conversations and running together as well, I did just get in a nice little 30 or 45 minute jog. I feel better. Physically, it was good for me, but mentally, I feel so much better than I felt before.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, nothing's better than just getting a run in. Doesn't matter what pace, doesn't matter, you know, sometimes even matter who it's with. It's just, you know, any miles are good miles, except, you know, the ones that cause injuries, then maybe those ones we could get rid of.
Exactly.
So, Rich, let's hit these end of podcast questions before we hop off today. Yeah. What is your favorite distance to run?
To run in a race or just to run in general?
You know, I leave it open-ended. I think a lot of people interpret it as a race. But, I mean, I know a lot of folks who also, they just love to go out for a four-mile run, and that's what they prefer. So, you know, it doesn't sound like you're doing a ton of racing, but, you know, what's your favorite distance? You know, if you're just going out on a run, what are you looking to do?
I can answer both. So okay. I think now I would say that for race wise, I would just do the standard 5K. It's very painful, but it's over pretty quick and you recover quickly from it. 10K is just doubly difficult. Not just the mileage, but man, you're in pain for a lot longer.
Yeah.
And I'm so far removed from marathons now, it's hard to even think about running a full marathon. Just doing a general run, I think kind of like a go-to distance for me is 5. If I don't think and I just go out and run, I kind of default to doing 5 miles, sometimes 6, but 5 is kind of like my bread and butter normal distance.
What is your favorite thing to eat post-run? Just what are you grabbing? What are you going for? What are you looking for?
Well, at Blue Atlas, my favorite dish is the avocado toast.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of places that make it good, but avocado toast with a sunny side up egg over top is very good at Blue Atlas. So I'll go with that.
Nice. And lastly, Rich, can you give listeners a reason to join their local run club or group?
Makes you feel better. You'll definitely feel better after going to the group, and it'll make you want to come back the next week.
Succinct and to the point. Love it. Thank you so much, Rich, for joining. Listeners, I'll have some of Rich's information as well as information to connect with East End Trail as well as Rich Brow in the podcast notes. If you're from the Richmond area, it sounds like these are two places that might offer a lot of fun. And so hopefully you find yourselves there at some point in time. Rich, thanks for joining.
Appreciate you having me, Andrew. It's been fun. Thanks.
Yep. All right, y'all.
here is what I love about community. That was such an amazing example, because look at how the journey plays out. We see and we hear from Rich dealing with all those injuries. Man, I feel you. I am in that cycle right now. But also to change things up, to do things differently, but to also not have it always be the focus on you. You can have your own goals while still bringing this joy, this love for something that you love to the community, and you can notice your own growth in it, right? When we take that pressure off of ourselves to always feel like we have to perform, and we establish ourselves in the community, there's something that happens there. And so you see it here in Rich's story, how great of a connection it is for him to be a part of all of the groups he's a part of, to continue to take part and to enjoy these things. And you see that Rich still has his like speed side where he enjoys competing. He's enjoying doing triathlons. He's enjoying doing all these things, but it continues to connect him back into that love for running. And just like you heard, go try some trails, rediscover that love, because it's without that love for running can fall away and we can lose it. And what a great testament it is to kind of hear a story like Rich's and to hear how he was able to come back in and how community helped him to do that. And so I really love this story. Again, like I said at the top, if you have a story to share, I'm always looking for great stories, friends. I've got guests lined up. I do. I promise. I'm not in a need for guests, and don't hear that as don't email me, but I am always looking for great stories to share. And so let me know if you want to be a guest on this podcast, if you have a great story to share, because alongside all these other stories that I am telling, there is plenty of room for all of us to share these stories, because community is what helps us to grow stronger. So make sure if you want to be a guest, email me, andrew@runninrev.com. You know, and there's so many ways that you can help to support this work. And I know I do this every week, these call to actions, these things, but seriously, y'all, help support, because continuing to put this stuff out here brings so much joy, and I want to make sure I can continue to do that. So make sure that you're following on your favorite podcasting app, whatever it might be. Go to runbuildgrow.com if you are looking for one. You know, while you're online, head over to Apple Podcasts, head on over to Spotify, leave a rating and review. Again, I will read your rating and reviews in the outros of all of these episodes. In fact, you may be wondering, yes, I said that because I have two. I have an Apple review on here from jharts123, John Hartzell. Y'all have heard him. You love him. He is amazing. So supportive and great. He says, love hearing the uniqueness of the many run clubs from here in the 757, Richmond, and beyond, while at the same time highlighting the common thread we find in them all, lifting others up and building community. Thank you so much for that, John. What an amazing review. If you want yours read, go and leave one on Apple Podcasts. You can also now comment on Spotify on the episode. Just leave a comment like my buddy Chris, Dat Frenchie. Love the consistency, history, and community of this podcast. And this one, like all others, delivers. There's so much amongst us that is all the same, and that is what makes us different, but we share the journey. Dig this so much. And that is from the episode last week with Raz. What an amazing episode it was. And I mean, while you're at it, while you're leaving those rating and reviews, make sure to share that podcast with others to help make sure that it's getting spread far beyond just even where you are. And lastly, the plug that I know sometimes is the hardest is I'd love it if you'd help to support me. You know, we have Substack over there. You can go become a paid member of my Substack, the Run and Rev Run Club. If you aren't on there, if you don't want to become a paid member, at least become a free member. There's a lot of awesome content that I'm putting out over there, as well as updates on the podcast. But if you want to become a paid member, $50 a year, $5 a month, it doesn't matter what it is, it's there for you. And then there's also a link in the notes below. Buy me a coffee, help to support me, drop a one-time tip if you love this podcast. Friends, I love this so much. I love bringing it to you. You know, I ask for your support to help me make sure I keep this thing going, but it is always about community. It's all about y'all, and it's about keeping this going. And so friends, make every mile count.